They're all great, but I've been going through this chapter, and I think it's the fourth or fifth message that we're getting from this chapter right here. I'll be praying for my voice. Everyone's squirrely on me today, as this morning. So, John chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 14 to 18. 14 to 18. We read some of these verses last week, a couple of them. We didn't really touch on them all that much. We're going to go through them again and look at this. This morning, we want to answer the question this morning of what's so good about the shepherd? What's so good about the shepherd? Jesus Christ says that he is the good shepherd. Well, if he's the good shepherd, what's so good about him? I want to look at that this morning. I want to answer the question. Why is he good? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the ability to come and worship here with your people. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the song, the music, the specials that we've heard this morning ministering to our hearts. Thankful for everyone who could come this morning. I pray that, God, you would speak to hearts, speak to minds. Pray that you give us ears to hear, a heart to receive it. Lord, you know the state of every heart. You know what's going on in their lives. You know what they're struggling with. And Lord, I pray that you would minister to those hearts in a way that only you can. We pray that, God, you would open up just a way, Lord, for the word to penetrate and to find a lodging place in our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that you help me to speak and say the things that are necessary and forget the things that I don't need to say. Well, thank you for it, Lord. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is going to start out here in verse number 14. They both start with, I am the good shepherd. Verse number 14, he's going to say, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. First thing we like to establish is, what does good mean? If I was to come up to you this morning and I was to say, you know, this song that I heard, it's a really good song, and I played it for you and you listened to it and you'd say, man, it's not really all that good. I don't like it. I don't like the rhythm. I don't like the words. Whatever it might be, you're saying, it's not good. And I say, no, it really is good. I believe that that's a good song. And so you're... idea of what good mean and my idea of what good mean might be two different things, depending on our perspective. So what does it mean to be good? He says he is the good shepherd. What does it mean to be good? Because we need to establish what the standard of good is. If I was going to give you a different dictionary definition, good means possessing or displaying moral virtue. That's what good means. We have to establish what good means because we have to have a standard of what good is. Now, I can make up my own standard of goodness. You can make up your own standard of goodness. And then we can squabble over who's good, what's the definition of good. As a matter of fact, that's what they're doing today. The Bible tells us that people try to change the standard of what good is. They set up their own standard of goodness. And that's what happens when a society crumbles. They start defining things in different ways because we just want to define them that way. So they start changing what good is. Well, this is not what good is. This is what good is. And we're going to define it in this way. Isaiah the prophet told us that people do this, and people do it all the time. He says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." I'm going to redefine what good is. What was once now good is now, what was once good is now evil. And what was once evil is now good, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're going to switch it all around. We're going to change it all around. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Hey, it's my perspective. You're not going to tell me what good is. You're not going to tell me what righteousness is. You're not going to tell me what good is. It's in my own sight, whatever good is. That's what's happening today. Changing the standard of good. We don't like good anymore. We don't like the way that you defined good. And so we're going to redefine good. And so now it's all switched around. Those things that once used to be good, now it's evil. And those things that were once evil are now good and wholesome, righteous. Do you see the big switch? That's what people do. And our society is crumbling. So we need to find a standard of what good is. What is good? Well, the first time that we read good in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good." Good. "And he divided the light from the darkness." And so what we learn about good from the Bible, and the definition that we get, is that good must come from God. You don't have good apart from the grace of God. Nothing. Not one iota, not one smidgen, not one little bit of goodness do you have apart from God. It has to come from God. That's where it came from. And so good is associated with God in the Bible. Did you notice they're almost spelled the same? Good and God. Take out one O and you've got the same. Good and God. And so good is associated with God's word. It says, "In the beginning, God said." That's where good came from. The word of God. Good is associated with light from God, because that's the first thing that he created was light, and then good is contrasted with darkness, which is evil. That's what good is according to the Bible. Did you notice that Jesus Christ is all three of those things listed right there? Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is God. He is God. He is good. Jesus Christ is good. He's the good one. So when he says, "I am the good shepherd," then he's good. He's good. What about the world? Is it good? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came to save sinners out of this present evil world. What about the shepherds that come from this present evil world? They don't want to go through the door. They don't want to go through Jesus Christ. They don't want to go through God. Are they good? No, they're not good. But Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. They actually hated Jesus Christ for who he was. They didn't like Jesus Christ. Well, they wanted to be the shepherds of the people, but they weren't good. They didn't qualify for the position. They couldn't do it. And so Jesus says, he comes along and says, "I'm the good shepherd." Is he your shepherd this morning? Amen. Is Jesus Christ your shepherd? What's so good about the shepherd? He said he's the good shepherd. What's so good about it? You know, John chapter 10 is full of gospel. Now, in the Bible, you have law. That's things that you must do, things that you must fulfill. Then you have gospel. Then you have something that is good for the children of God. You know, I don't want to turn a gospel message into a law message, and I don't want to turn a law message into a gospel message. And I'm going to give you some gospel this morning. I'm going to give you some good news this morning. Because John chapter 10 is gospel. It is good news, and it's good news for the people of God. How do we know that he's good? the good shepherd? Well, the first thing that we notice about the goodness of the shepherd is found in the knowledge of the shepherd. We know that the shepherd is good because of his knowledge. We find that in verse number 14 and 15. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You and I can take comfort this morning in the fact that Jesus Christ knows you. That's a good thing, that Jesus Christ knows you. We have in view here the relationship of the shepherd to the sheep and the sheep to the shepherd and the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father, and all of those things run parallel together. They are intertwined. They are together. As the shepherd knows the sheep, and as the sheep know the shepherd, so the Son knows the Father, and the Father knows the Son. They run parallel together. They are all intertwined together. It is a relationship. And Jesus Christ is explaining here. He says, look, I have a relationship with the sheep, and He knows them. What does it mean when Jesus says that the Father knows me and I know the Father, and all of these things correlate together? Well, Jesus Christ is saying, look, I know the will of the Father. I know what the Father wants done. I know what God wants done. I know what He wants done upon this earth, and I'm going to fulfill His will. That's what He came for, folks. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. He knows the mind of the Father. He knows what the Father thinks about sin and righteousness. He and the Father are on the same wavelengths together. He knows the mind of the Father. He knows the plans of the Father. He knows what God is planning on doing upon this earth and redemption and all of these things. He knows the nature of the Father. He knows exactly how God thinks. And as a matter of fact, Jesus Christ had the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwelling in Him while He walks upon this earth. So He knows the Father. And the Father knows Him. But did you know that He also knows the sheep? Jesus Christ knows the sheep, and it gives us great comfort to know that Jesus Christ knows the sheep. We see an example of this in John chapter number 1. You don't have to look there right now, but Philip had a brother named Nathanael, and he was sitting under a fig tree. And here comes Jesus Christ, and He's walking towards Nathanael. Now Nathanael and Jesus Christ had never met each other before. And He comes up to Nathanael and He introduces Himself. And Nathanael says, now wait a second, we've never met before. I don't know you. How do you know me? And he says, well, I saw you sitting over under the fig tree earlier before. You know what Nathanael did? He said, man, this is the one to come. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. You are the King of Israel, the one that people have been talking about. Why? Because He knew Him before He even knew Jesus Christ. He knows the sheep. He knows the sheep. Do you know the sheep know the shepherd? All of the sheep know the shepherd. You know Jesus Christ this morning? Paul the Apostle says, man, I've been suffering a lot of things. I've been going through a lot of things. Been persecuted, been whipped, been beaten. But he says, I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Yes, you have that kind of confidence in Jesus Christ this morning? If you're part of the flock, the shepherd knows who you are. Can I tell you this morning that He knows where you are in life this morning? Jesus Christ is not blind to what's going on in your life. Life's going to take a turn for the worse. It's not always going to be a bed of roses. It's not always going to be rosy and pretty and wonderful and great. Man, it's just not. One of these things, you're going to get some bad news. You're going to get something that you don't like. But can I tell you that Jesus Christ knows where you are and He knows you. You know what we do sometimes? Bad things come into our lives. We might begin to question God. Now, does God really know where I'm at in this situation? Does He really know the news that I just got on the telephone? Does God know the situation that I'm facing right now? Because it's pretty crummy. Is he still around? Is he real? Is Jesus Christ really real? Probably just a legend that those Christians have made up. If you were to think that, you wouldn't be the first one to question and think that. Because I can tell you that many great men and women throughout history in the Bible that had seen Jesus Christ walk and talk had asked the same question. You know, Job, boy, he was a good moral man. And he lost his wife, he lost his kids, he lost his health, he lost all of his possessions, and he began to question God and say, "Where is he? I look on the right and he's not there. I look on the left and he's not there. I look forward and he's not there. I look behind me and he's not there. Where is he? If he was really God, he wouldn't let these things happen to me. What kind of a God is he? Is he real? What about John the Baptist? Oh, he's been preaching, saying the truth. Cousin of Jesus Christ, calling out sin, calling people to repent. And they took him and put him in prison. And he began to question, man, is he real? Is Jesus Christ real? Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? Because right now I am doubting who Jesus Christ is. But all along, Jesus knew where they were. God knew where Job was. Jesus Christ knew where John the Baptist was. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus Christ knows your weaknesses, and he knows your deficiencies, and he knows your problems. He knows all about that. He knew about Paul the Apostle's deficiencies and problems and heartaches and things that were going on in his life. He knew all about that. What about Peter? He knew about Peter's deficiencies. As a matter of fact, he told Peter what he would do before he did them. He says, "You're going to deny me three times, Peter. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me." You know, Jesus Christ knows all about you. He knows all about me. It might be a health weakness. It might be a personality problem. It might be something in your life, but Jesus Christ knows all about you. He knows where you're going. He knows where he's going to lead you. He knows where he's going to guide you. He knows you. That's why he's good. That's why he's good. A lot of times we can't see the road ahead. We don't know what's going to happen. Stuff's going on all around us. This virus. All of this stuff's going on. We don't know the road ahead. We can't see it. But can I tell you that Jesus Christ knows? And for a Christian, he is the road ahead. Jesus Christ is the road ahead. And the shepherd is good because of his knowledge. He's got enough knowledge to take care of you. He's good because he cares for you. There's a lot of shepherds that don't care for the sheep. But Jesus Christ cares for the sheep. We find that in verse number 15 and 16. He says, "I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd." Jesus Christ is good because he cares for the sheep. What about the false shepherds? They ain't going to lay down their life for the sheep. No, when the wolf comes, they're going to run away. And they don't care about the sheep. The sheep are going to get eaten up by the wolves, and they're going to spare themselves. But Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He cares. He cares for the sheep. Jesus Christ is a different character and moral quality altogether, and he shows his care for the sheep. How does he show his care for the sheep? He lays down his life for the sheep. You know what he's talking about there? When he says, "I lay down my life for the sheep," he's talking about his blood atonement that he's going to make on the cross. That's what he's talking about. It's a substitutionary blood atonement. That's what it is. And he says, "I am going to be the substitute for the sheep. I'm going to lay down my life on behalf of the sheep." That's the reason that he's going to the cross, is for the sheep. He's going to shed his blood on the cross. He's going to die in their place. Now here comes the wolf. He's not going to run away while the wolf comes. No, he's going to stay. He's going to shed his blood for the sheep. There's a lot of shepherds out there. They won't lay down their life for the sheep. We read in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, it says, "For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Now listen. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Now you could find someone who would die for a righteous man. They might see that man and say, "Man, I wouldn't mind dying for him because he could do so much good for society. I mean, he might be a president, king, whatever it might be. Boy, if I could die for that man and let him live, boy, he could do a lot of good for society. I wouldn't mind dying for him. I would." You might find somebody like that. Even for a good man. Why? He's morally good. He doesn't deserve to die, so I will die for that man. But you know what you probably won't find? You're probably not going to find somebody who would die for a hell-deserving, unrighteous, rebellious, hating sinner. You're not going to find somebody who'll die for that. But did you know that Jesus Christ came and he died for people who were running away from him, who were rebelling against him, who hated him, and who were not contributing to society? That's who he died for. He died for us, and then while we were yet sinners, while we were sinners, not when we were good, not when we deserved it, he cares for the sheep, even though we don't deserve it. Ungodly. He's good because he takes care of the sheep. He gathers the sheep. We see the gathering nature of the sheep in verse number 16. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must also bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." You know why Jesus Christ is good and how he shows his care for the sheep? He's gathering. You don't start gathering them up. He says, "There's some sheep which are not of this fold." They're not of the Israelite fold. They're not of the Jewish fold. They're of a different fold. He says, "You know, I've got some more sheep out there, and I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to put them all into one fold." You know, he's talking about the Gentiles. He says, "I've got some more I'm going to gather." You know why Jesus Christ is good? He don't leave a man behind. He gathers his sheep. We find this in John chapter 11, verses 51 to 52, that he died not only for that nation, but he should gather together in one all of his children. He's a gathering shepherd. He doesn't leave anyone behind. He's good because he goes after the sheep. There's Jesus Christ, and he was speaking in Luke chapter number 15, and he gathers together the publicans, the sinners, the prostitutes. And you know what he's doing with those people? He's eating with them. Oh, what? What are you doing, Jesus? That's what the Pharisees did. He's eating with publicans and sinners. He's actually getting close to them. You know what he said to the public, or to the Pharisees and to the religious elite of his day? He says, "How many of you, having 100 sheep, one goes astray, you're going to let him go astray? You're going to go out and you're going to gather that one sheep, and when you find him, boy, there's going to be rejoicing because you found the sheep." That's what Jesus Christ does. He says, "Hey, there's one that went astray. Better go get him. Better bring him back." Jesus Christ is a good shepherd because he gathers the sheep. He doesn't leave anyone behind. So Jesus Christ is morally good enough to die for your sins and to save you from those sins. There is no other shepherd that fits that bill. There isn't. Go ahead, search the world over. Look at all of the religious leaders that have ever lived. They all need a Savior. They're all sinners. They're all in the grave. They're all dead. Except one, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. He's a good shepherd. He saves us from our sins. He brought us to Himself. He made you His own. He bought you back. He paid the price for your soul, His precious blood. That's what it was for. What's so good about the shepherd? He cares for the sheep. Not only His knowledge and His care, but lastly, the power of the shepherd. We see the power of the shepherd. That's why He's so wonderful and good. The shepherd's good because of the power. It says in verse number 17 and 18, it says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." He says, "I got the power." We see that the love of the Father has for the Son in these verses right here runs parallel and is connected to the covenant that was made in eternity. The power of Christ is laid out in the words that He says about life and death. He says, "I got the power." Jesus just shows us His power by willingly laying down His life. He willingly laid it down. They didn't have to take Him and strap Him down and drag Him all the way there. He says, "Because I lay it down," He says, "no man taketh it from me." No one did. Now men came and they got Jesus Christ. And men took Him and they put Him on a cross and they put nails in His hands and they put nails in His feet and they plucked out His beard and they spit in His face and they put a crown of thorns on His head and they took scourges and they whipped Him and they beat Him and they made Him a bloody pulp and they crucified Him and they chanted, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." They did all of these things. They mocked Him and they scourged Him. But Jesus Christ let them do that. He let Him do that. He laid down His life. When Jesus Christ was speaking to Pilate, Pilate came and asked Jesus Christ a question. He says, "Where'd you come from, Jesus? Where are you from?" You know what Jesus Christ said back to Pilate? Nothing. Nothing. Pilate starts getting nervous. "Man, I don't know about this guy. He's not saying a whole lot." He looks at Jesus and he says, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or I have the power to release you? Don't you know that, Jesus?" You know what His answer was? "You don't have any power except for what's been given you from heaven. That's the only power that you have." Jesus has the ultimate power. God has the ultimate power. They had no power apart from Jesus Christ because He went willingly to the cross and He laid down His life. He gave up the ghost. He didn't have to die. He died at His choosing when He wanted to die. Not whenever He had to die, but when He wanted to die. And when you have the power of death in your own hand, that's power. I don't have that kind of power. You don't have that kind of power. One of these days when God says it's ready for you to go, it'll be time for you to go. But not Jesus Christ. He had the power of death in His hand. He had the power of resurrection in His hand. He says, "I take it up again." Amen. I'm going to take it back up. Yeah. I notice the words. He says that I may take it up again. Yeah. He says, I'm going to bring myself back up. I'm going to take my life back. You know, Paul, writing in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 1, says that God raised Him from the dead. You know what that tells us? That Christ said He will take up His own life again. It tells us that Jesus Christ is God and that God was in Christ and Christ is God and He raised Himself up from the dead by His own power. That's power. That's power. We see the deity of Jesus Christ in view as He says these things. He says, "I'll take it back up again." As a matter of fact, He told the Pharisees earlier, He says, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. I'll come back from the dead." That's a good shepherd. That's a good shepherd. There's only been a lot of people in the Bible who have been raised from the dead. You know, Lazarus, the Shunammite woman, Elisha raised him from the dead. Saints in Jerusalem, Matthew chapter 27. Somebody had to raise them from the dead. They couldn't raise themselves. But Jesus Christ, He raised Himself from the dead. You know that Jesus Christ willingly gave His life so that you and I could be resurrected from the dead as well. The fact that you and I are Christians today all hinges on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. You say, does the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this Jew 2,000 years ago, does it have any implications for us in the year 2020? I mean, come on. Does it really matter? Yeah, it matters. It matters. Because the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead means that you have been raised from the dead spiritually as well. Because if Jesus Christ hadn't been rose from the dead, he'd have been a dead Savior. And you would have had no new birth. You would have had no regeneration. You would have had no life from the dead. But he's raised you from the dead if you're saved here this morning. We could look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. And you hath he quickened. Quickened, made alive. Are you alive to God today? Are you alive to Him? You love His Word. You love Jesus Christ. You love God's people. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. You can attribute it all to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He raised you from the dead. Because beforehand, you were walking according to the course of this world. Children of disobedience. Child of the devil. All of those things. But life has been imparted to us based upon the mercy and the love of God. What's so good about the shepherd? What's so good about the shepherd is his knowledge of us, his care for us, his power to resurrect us. But again, this morning, is he your shepherd? Does Jesus Christ know you, and do you know the shepherd? I hope that you do this morning. Are you under the care of the shepherd? I hope that you are. I hope that you're not still wandering around. Look, I'm looking for something, someone to guide me, someone to lead me. I'm looking for something, but it's not Jesus Christ. You're searching around. And I tell you this morning that the good thing about the shepherd is that he's willing and able to receive sinful people. Yes, sir. That's who he receives. He's not looking for someone who's perfect. Well, you have to be perfect to come to Christ. No, you don't. He's looking for people who aren't perfect. That's who he's looking for. You don't have to be strong in order to come to Jesus Christ, because he's looking for the weak. That's who he's looking for. And then when you come to Jesus Christ, you know what happens? He starts to perfect you. He starts working on you. And he makes you strong. Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Jesus Christ is our strength. Jesus Christ is our life. Go to Jesus Christ and he will save you. He will save you. Is he your shepherd this morning? I hope that he is. Let's pray.